Would the children like to come up at this time?
Now, who's good at oops. Sorry, I forgot to.
Okay, can you hear me? Okay. I forgot to get wired, so we're going not being wired. Who's good at guessing how much things cost? I know things. Wow, we've got a couple. You know, things have changed a little bit, but in the rink or in McKeensburg here, there used to be a little store where sometimes when you went to the elementary school that was here, this is back in the 60s, you could go there at lunchtime. John remembers that. You could go at lunchtime. Sometimes I think if you were in fifth or sixth grade, you could go out to that store and you could buy candy for one penny. Well, those days are over now. And even back, John's laughing. Even back then, you know, the stores used to be 5, 10, and 25 cent stores. Now the cheap stores are just dollar stores. So that's what happens with inflation. So say, what do you think these animal crackers, what do you think they would cost if you wanted to buy those?
$3.
$3. Wow. Really? Inflation has gone up since the service started. $1,000. Oh, my word. Oh, you know what? I was going to try to buy these with the money I had, and you kids are driving me broke. Now, let's go back in maybe like 60s prices. You know, let's go back. Like I said, you could buy penny candy and...
One penny.
Oh, okay. Anybody else? Okay, well, let's say that was a penny. We're going back time. Well, how about just for this little pack of treats? A quarter. Okay, I see inflation's really coming around here. How about just one little lollipop? A penny. Okay, we'll say, you know, we'll put the money up here. Here's some other gummy snacks.
A quarter.
A quarter. Wow, I can see. People like these gummy snacks. They're worth quite a bit. Dots, did you ever have those? 10 cents. Yeah, they used to be popular in the movie theaters years ago. Okay. And we've got some pumpkins and the rest of the money. Wow. Wow. I'm glad I didn't bring my checkbook. Well, I'm going to drop something down here. Now, what is that a picture of? The cross, yes. Now, we were trying to guess what it would cost for different things. Here's a tricky question. How much does it cost to follow Jesus?
Zero.
Okay.
Money.
Yes. Money. I want you to know that becoming a follower of Jesus by paying... it's not going to take... I'm sorry. Yeah, Jesus came, and he came, and he shed his life for us without any cost. But what do you think it would cost to follow Jesus? Do you think like... Do you think we... Like a oh, my word. I don't have that much money. Do you think like maybe a dollar?
$5.
Well, we're going up there. 20. You know, you're pretty well I mean, tapped out here. Okay, well, let's see. I've got all I have here. There's only one thing else that I can give. But do you know? I have to put myself in here. I have to give myself and follow Jesus. It takes all of us, everything. Oh, great, great. Now I didn't break the chair. Some may think that the cost is too high, but Jesus loves us and wants us to discover his wonderful life. When you give your whole selves to Jesus, we begin to discover his life, power, and love. Following Jesus costs us everything, but it's really worth it. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, it's not just this life, But we will have eternal life with Jesus. And the joy that we will have, we can't even imagine. The joy that we'll have in heaven for eternity. Now let's fold our hands, bow our heads in prayer. Dear God, help us to give our whole lives to you. We know that following Jesus will be hard sometimes, but we also know that you will keep us in your love and will help us to make our life wonderful and an exciting adventure. We ask this to Christ the Lord. Amen. Is there going to be any children's church? It doesn't look like it this time. I don't think so. Yeah, the treats are there. Glad to see everyone this morning. And I know that we have visitors today. If you're a visitor, you please sign our guest book out in the narthex. It's right before you go out. The door's on the right-hand side. The title of the sermons are Christians Becoming Gray. You may wonder what this sermon is about by the title. I couldn't find any statistics on the trending of the average age of Christian churchgoers increasing through the years. But because the baby boomers are becoming older and their hair is starting to gray, well, I'm a poster child there, I guess. This may be a fact. This sermon is about how we Christians act, talk, spend their money and time, and the influence we have beyond the church. One thing, when I was looking for those statistics, I came across something else that was pretty interesting. And I want to thank every parent that brought their children to church, because what a difference that makes. It's important when a mother and a father come regular, and there's a real interesting fact here about the fathers. And in our society, us fathers have really fallen short on being the true leaders that we should be. On this survey, it shows no matter how regular the mother was in attending church, if the father was non-practicing, the chances of their children being regular churchgoers is anywhere from 1.5% to 4.6%. Actually, it also said it found that if a child is the first person in a household to be saved, there's a 3.5% probability everyone else in the household will follow. If the mother is the first to become a Christian, there's a 17% probability everyone else in the household will follow. But where the father is first, there is a 93% probability everyone else in the household will follow. That just shows the influence of fathers in our society. And the sad thing is, fathers, we have fallen short of this. And we're paying the price. We're going to play a video here of our call.
You should see me at church. When I get there on Sunday morning, I don't know how else to say this. Everything is black and white to me at church. Temptation stinks in my nose at church. I'm bold. I know what I need to stay away from. I know what I need to run to. I'm humble. You should see how humble I am. I rock at being humble. I would say on a scale of 1 to 10, I'm going to give myself at least an 8 in humility. Because when I'm at church, everything's beautiful. Everything works. I know how to do it. But somewhere between the altar and the door, things get a little weird, you know? I mean, suddenly my boldness isn't as bold as it was. The black and white is starting to feel like it's got splotches of gray in it. Man, this way that I was going to react when someone wronged me did not work out the way I thought it was. It's like stuff starts leaking out of my head.
Jesus, how can I be sure? I will not lose my follow through between the altar and the door.
What is the deal? What is it that happens to us between the altar and the door? I think we're all wondering and we're all struggling with it. God started showing me something about myself a while back. And what he was showing me is that a lot of times when I'm at church, I'm really just enjoying other people's walk with God. Think about it. And Pastor Tim's up there, and he has got God's Word open, and he is just verse by verse unpacking the Bible for me. And I'm listening to this stuff, and I'm like, yeah, I believe that. I believe that too. That's awesome. And I feel like I'm so a part of it. I'm soaking all this up. And then the worship leaders get up there, the worship band gets up there, and they're creating these moments where it just feels so good. I'm thinking, this must be what walking with Jesus feels like. But you know, in a lot of ways, what I'm doing when I'm at church, or when I'm at youth camp, or when I'm with my youth group, what I'm really doing is this. I'm enjoying other people's walk with God. Think about it. When I get up and I leave the altar and I go out the door, those people don't go with me. The youth group can't go home with me. My youth pastor can't go home with me. My pastor can't come home with me. All these things, a small group experience, a worship experience, is like it all stays right there. And the problem with that is, when the storms of life hit me, I can't lean on Pastor Tim's Jesus. I can't lean on my youth pastor's walk with God. I've got to have my own walk with God.
Jesus, I'm trying so hard to stop trying so hard.
We've got to have our own growing, everyday, walking around friendship with God. Because if we don't, we're going to sneak up one day and realize we're just leaning on everybody else's walk with the Lord. We're not growing ourselves. It's great to have your pastor pour into you. It's great to have Christian music pour into you. It's great to have all these kind of experiences that we go to. And we got to do that. But the problem is, that's their walk with Jesus that I'm kind of witnessing and having a part of. I've got to have my own time with God every day, where just me and Him get to know each other better. And if I don't have that, the altar and the door are always going to be polar opposites in my life. If we want to grow, we got to do it one step at a time, just me and Jesus.
I love casting crowns. I mean, if you ever saw them at creation, you hear each one of them has a testimony. Each one of them is involved in their church and the youth. If you have the internet, you go on and you look for Mark Hall, you'll find a lot of good things, that he has. We can all learn from him. Mark Hall from the Christian band Casting Crowns describes many problems we Christians face between the altar, well, Pastor Sonny said that's a communion table, and the door. I've seen it written in some churches, you are entering your mission field. It was written across the door, above the door, leading out of the sanctuary. And outside of these doors, this is our mission field, outside of this sanctuary. Mark talks about knowing what he needs to stay away from, and what he needs to run to when in church. He said that he is humble and he is bold. He says that somewhere between the altar and the door, things start to get a little weird. Suddenly my boldness isn't as bold as it was, and black and white is starting to get splotches of gray. See, already as he's getting through the door, things that he thought and he believed in, he's starting to doubt a little bit. He talks about needing our own relationship with Jesus and not leaning on other people's relationship with Jesus. This is the only way to stay on track. We need our own Jesus to have him and also the Holy Spirit to lead us and keep us from blending in with society. A big problem with our society is that we do what we think is right in our own eyes. A lot of this is from the New Age movement and has even crept into many Christian churches. We are compromising. Compromising itself can be beneficial when it promotes cooperation without sacrificing moral values. But we're sacrificing our moral values. We believe in the sanctity of life in church, but we vote for politicians who do not support the sanctity of human life, but support doing what is right in their own eyes, pro-choice. We compromise many times because we're told that taxes will be lowered or jobs will be created, and that influences our vote. There's a price to be paid for societies that follow this thinking, and we're seeing it in our own country. First, the rights of the weakest that don't have a voice of their own will be taken away, and it will continue down to the elderly, and eventually affect everyone that doesn't agree with them. We have seen the effects of being politically correct and the changes that are being forced upon conservative Christians. Up at the prison, I have to get there almost an hour before. It's just the way things work. So I have time to look. And a lot of times I look on the rack that they have. They have different magazines, different publications. One is Decision Magazine that I look at a lot of times up there. And I just look, they have, maybe you remember a lot, if you were younger, they used to be able to give away the Gideons would give away the New Testament in school. Now they can't do that. They can't even go on the sidewalk. In the front of the Gideon's New Testament, I noticed this scripture under a picture of the American flag. The American flag, that what it used to stand for, really. I'm going to read this scripture. It's Proverbs chapter 14, verse 34. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin condemns any people. Well, I looked this up in the commentary, and this is what my commentary says. In order for a nation to be great, its leaders and people must have upright, moral characters known for their righteousness. Corruption, graft, bribery, dirty tricks, scandal, and all forms of civil unrighteousness will bring disgrace to a country. Wow, that sounds like our country. You read about it in the newspaper and hear it on the TV news all too often, how public officials have accepted bribes and all the different things that they're doing that is not ethical, and this is where we're headed. Does anyone remember the Disney cartoon with Goofy as Mr. Walker and Mr. Wheeler? Oh boy, maybe nobody even remembers that. Okay. It was Mr. Walker and Mr. Wheeler is similar to Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Mr. Walker was a gentle, friendly, courteous person who wouldn't hurt a fly or even step on an ant. But when he got into his car, he was transformed into Mr. Wheeler. Now, this was created back in 1950. And I mean, if you look at society today, it's here today. People can be so great, but when they get into their car, they turn into this monster. Mr. Wheeler was rude and self-centered maniac who didn't follow any laws and did what he wanted, when he wanted, at the expense of others. We must guard that we don't become Mr. Wheeler when we go out through these doors. New technology is neutral in that it can be used for good and bad. Technology is the leading influence of the youth today. I'm not sure the correct listing in order of influence on the youth in this list from different times. Mark and Pastor Sonny and over there, it was with Walt Mueller from, he studies youth culture, and it's just amazing what we have found and how things have changed. But I can tell you that in, I think it was 1960, the four top influences were family, church, school, and peers. I'm hoping that's right, Mark. I don't have my notes on that. Now, the latest one, it shows how it went through the 3 years and how things have changed. But the last one was in 2000-something. I don't remember the exact year. The number one influence on the youth was multimedia. That's important to remember. Then I think it was probably peers, family, maybe school. This shows how society has changed. In 2000, church wasn't even listed in the top four influences to our youth. So where are they getting their understanding? Where are they learning what they're learning? That's why it's important what we view and say on social media. Also because people are spending so much time using multimedia, what is suffering and being squeezed out because of lack of time? I know one of my problems is disciplining time sometimes. Sometimes you come home after work and you feel tired and just think, I'm just going to turn the TV on. I usually fall asleep anyway. But I'm taking away time from reading the Bible. And, you know, that's something that I know I really have to work on. And because people are spending so much time in multimedia, they're stealing away time from something else. And oftentimes it's probably from the Word of God. But although you can do a lot of things on the Internet, there's a vast amount of knowledge that can be accessed through the Internet. But how are we using it? Years ago, children used this encyclopedia for research. Now they use the Internet. So you're not seeing those world book salesmen coming around anymore. Okay, you younger people don't even probably know about that. Many Christian radio programs can be heard on the Internet when it's convenient to hear them. I mean, I'm very fortunate that I get to hear two programs from the Christian station up in, it's 91.5, Shemokin or Shenandoah. Right, right. I really feel I have a blessing. I can hear to Dr. David Jeremiah and Chuck Swindoll in the morning. But a lot of times things don't work into her schedule. So you can use the Internet to hear them, and there's a lot of good speakers on there. The good place to go is oneplace.com. If you go there, you can access a lot of the radio programs through that. And there are a lot of good ones out there. So there is a lot of good things on the Internet. Like I said, the Internet is neutral. It could be for good and for bad. There are a lot of places you can learn about the Bible. There's commentaries. You can look at some of them. It'll give different translations, you know, so you can compare them, parallel. But there are also on the opposite side, there are also many sites that will try to lure you into unhealthy choices. And they will try to do that, and it's a very subtle thing. Just like the frog that was in the water. If you put a frog in hot water, he's going to jump out right away. But you bring that temperature up slow, he'll stay in there and he'll cook to death. And that's what we have to be careful. We have to watch for those subtle little things that come. Those little compromises that we make. It's like, well, that's not bad. It's maybe it's some pictures here. They're dressed a little scandally, but I'm not looking at pornography. Well, that leads into it. It really leads into it. We also have to look at how we influence society by what we're watching on TV, viewing the computer, or even seeing the movies. Are we becoming so gray that outsiders can hardly see the difference between Christians and secular society? There are people that are watching what we say and our actions to see if Christianity is real. Are we real? You know, we talk this, but are we really walking the walk? If we talk about movies or other inappropriate events that we participate in, people may get confused about our faith. They may hear, oh, we say this, but we do that. You know, it's like, well, is this real? Another problem could be how social media is used. One of the big things is people forget what is posted never goes away. There may be people watching what we post in our comments. Are we good influence for Christian values? Are we building people up? Or are we tearing them down on this social networking? There are problems when we choose to do what seems right to a man, it may lead to death. When man thinks that he is the highest authority, he's guided by sin, lust of the eyes, and lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Just compare the human perspective with the divine perspective. Man sees the outward appearance. God can see beyond the outward appearance. Oftentimes, you know, we judge people by maybe how they dress, how they look, maybe the cars and houses they live in. Man has limited knowledge of the past. God has total knowledge of the past. Man has limited knowledge of the future. God has total knowledge of the future, what the Bible calls foreknowledge. Man can be affected by sins such as prejudice, selfishness, and ulterior motives. God is righteous and just. We were given the Bible from God as an instruction manual to live. If you look in there and you look at his commandments, they're all there for our good. Because God knows what is good for us. And when we start following on our own, it's going to lead down the path of destruction. We can learn from the past mistakes that people did in the Bible. In Judges 17:6, and it's repeated in Judges chapter 21, verse 25, it says, "In those days Israel had no king. Everyone did as they saw fit." That was a terrible time for Israel. They were worshiping idols. It was a time of rebellion and sin. They abandoned God's law for their daily living, and they paid the consequences, oftentimes in captivity. Every time man rebels against God and his laws and does what seems fit, it ends up in disaster. The sins don't only affect the individuals, but all of society pays the price. Each one of our sins adds together, makes the whole. That is why we as Christians are responsible for affecting society in a positive way. We must be mindful every day of how we are affecting society. We are to obey the authorities unless they go against God's law. Someone told me that the last part of a Christian to be sanctified is his right foot. This one really hits home. People who drive a long distance to work know that the average speed exceeds the limit by at least 10 miles an hour. Is that an excuse for us Christians to disobey the law because most of the other people are doing it? No. This is another way that we Christians are contributing to the lawlessness in our society. Another thing I hear is that people can't come to church because they need to go to work, or people are playing or watching someone playing a sport on Sunday morning. We need to look within ourselves to see if we are contributing to the problem. Should we refrain from shopping or sports activities on Sunday mornings? We're called to be children of light. I'd like to finish by reading Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 to 32. Instructions for Christian living. So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. That, however, is not the way of life you learned. When you heard about Christ and were taught in Him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor. For we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but he must work, doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building up others according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, forgive us for following our own hearts and doing what seems right in our own eyes instead of your word. We have sinned through our own fault in our words and our thoughts and our deeds, what we have done and what we have failed to do. We ask that you forgive us and guide us through the Holy Spirit. Amen. Excuse me. Today's benediction is taken from Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will.